We continue the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. How many people preached on or heard a sermon preached on the parable of the unjust steward on Sunday? How many of the sermons were comprehensible? Oh, well, never mind. Let's read it. We've got some interesting, somewhat unusual things here. Now it's clear he's speaking to the disciples, right? Verse 17 says so. And he said, Prostus mathetas ato, to his disciples. Here's a word. I'm always grateful when I have to look up a word, and it's a hapax legomena in the New Testament. This is one such. Anendektas means impossible. So you translate woodenly, impossible is tu ta skandala me el thane. We've got a infinitive with the genitive definite article on the front of it, which wouldn't normally be doing what it's doing here. But it's just sort of acting like a normal infinitive, and this whole infinitive construct is the subject of is. So not coming of stumbling blocks is impossible. That's the sentence, okay? And of course, the skandalon is a trigger or a trap, you know, and no, don't preach a sermon on how the traps were shaped and how long the stick was and stuff, because it's just passed over, you know, figuratively into language, and it means what we mean with a trap. It means a trap, a spiritual trap. So, for them not to come is impossible. Now, without an Allah or something, Jesus just continues, plain why, but woe, we've left out a dative pronoun or something, to the one through whom they come. Now notice that erkatai is a present indicative middle deponent, singular, third person singular, but it's singular because ta skandala is the neuter plural subject of the verb implied, and you may recall, if you've learned this yet, beginning Greek students have it, haven't, that neuter plural subjects can be linked with singular verbs, and that's what you have here. But woe to the one through whom they come. Now another rare verb, lusitaleo, means to be advantageous or better, auto, for him. Better for him if a lithos milikos, a millstone. And this is a big one. I don't suppose it matters too much how big it is. The picture I saw in my Harper's Bible Dictionary has this big thing about this big on the ground with a thing sticking up like that, and then the millstone is the one that's only about this big, and it's sitting on it, and it's turned and grinds the wheat or the corn or whatever it is that's grinding. Anyway, the point is, let's just take that picture. You've got a stone which is, you know, about this big and which weighs, I don't know, what would that stone weigh? A couple hundred pounds? See? So it would be more advantageous for that one if a millstone is laid around his neck. Para iketai is a present indicative middle deponent. Perikemi, to lay around his neck, and he has been cast from hrypto. This is the perfect indicative middle passive of hrypto. And he has been cast and remains cast into the sea. Okay, that much is better, A, than. Okay, now we finally get to the comparison. And this is awkward too. We've got a henna clause, right? And the only salvation here is not to translate purpose, but to remember that in Hellenistic Greek and Koine Greek, henna clauses often do things that infinitives do. Okay? So this henna clause is the equivalent of an infinitive to cause one of the little ones, these ones, to stumble. So, try back up and try it again. It's kind of convoluted. If a millstone is laid around his neck and he stands cast into the sea, this is more advantageous than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And you can hear when I did the translation there to take that hina clause as the equivalent of an infinitive. Okay? Because this is one of the things that the grammars make it sound as if it's morally wrong. The hina is encroaching upon the domain of the infinitive. And so some of the things that only an infinitive can do in older Greek, the hina clause can do in Koine or New Testament Greek. This is serious business to cause one of these little ones to stumble. What? Well, that's another question of debate. I take them to be even the weakest of the disciples because we don't have any context here. No, this isn't like Matthew 18. Right. So without context, I take it to mean even the disciple whose faith is smallest. Because we do have the brother shows up in the next verse. And so that's the context we've got. So that's how I take little ones. All right. So moving along. Prosekata. Proseko means to pay attention to. So here, take heed to yourselves. Heotois. Now a conditional sentence. And this is really fun. If your brother sins, the aorist subjunctive, hamarte, you beginning Greek students have just learned that it goes hamartano, hamartezo, hamartan. And you haven't had subjunctive yet, but this is the aorist subjunctive of to sin. If your brother sins, present general, if ever this happens, epitimezan auton, aorist imperative, rebuke him. And yes, epitimao takes the dative of the person that you're rebuking. Give a rebuke to him, something like that maybe. And aeon metanoeze, if he repents, forgive him. Aorist, another aorist imperative, right? Aphes, from aphiemi, to release or let go. It can even mean divorce, you know, but here let go in the sense of forgiving him. So if ever this happens to your brother, don't put a cause of stumbling in his way, but forgive him, right? And verse 4, and if 7 times of a day, that's a little odd, but the genitive with time expressions can express, often will express, duration. So if 7 times throughout the course of a day, now we've got a funny form, hamartese. This is an alternate aorist subjunctive. So you have both a strong aorist and a weak aorist subjunctive testified to here by the New Testament, which is a sign of sin. I mean, if this were a perfect world, you'd only have one or the other, but it's not. So that's why you have a lexicon. I had to look this up. I'm like, what is this? It's a first aorist subjunctive. Okay? Third person singular. O ace a with iota subscript, right? So if 7 times during the course of a day he sins aceste toward you, and heptakis, 7 times he turns, epistrepse, to you, saying, I repent, metanao, you will forgive him. Now that's an interesting change, because we move, in a sense, from a present general conditional sentence to a future more vivid. And I wonder, Andy, I mean, you guys are big on, you know, the Ten Commandments are not just commandments, but they're you will not. Yeah, more. And I wonder if this is moving here almost towards, it's a future more vivid here. You know, you will do this kind of thing. Yeah, John? Sure. But I'm wondering about the shift from aeon with the subjunctive and then an imperative to aeon with the subjunctive and the future indicative. See? So yeah, it's still a conditional sentence. It's a future more vivid in form. And I wonder if there's a little bit of a shift in meaning here. A little bit, not a huge amount. It's one of those, just one of those questions. The general sense is clear. If this happens 7 times during a day, and obviously I think the Lord means, and he means it when he says, I repent, you will forgive him. At this point, the disciples say the kind of thing that you're probably wanting to say if you think about having to do this 7 times during a day. And they said, notice the odd ending, apon, instead of apon. That's pretty typical in the New Testament. And the apostles said to the Lord. I think only Luke calls Jesus the Lord. I mean, as the narrator, as the evangelist, right? And they say, prosthes, from prostithemi. This is the aorist imperative active. It means put or add to, and here probably with a sense of increase. Increase for us, he mean, faith. We need more faith. We can't, you just told us what we're supposed to do. We can't do it. Increase our faith. Okay? Fair enough. And the Lord said, verse 6, if you have... Oh, now this is a mess. Here's another encroaching. Actually, what we've got here is a funnily formed, contrary to fact, conditional sentence. Because you've got A with the present indicative, A echeto, which normally would not signal at all a contrary to fact. It would be signaled by an aorist indicative or an imperfect indicative. But after the comma, you've got elegeta on, and then at the very end, you've got hip ekousen on. And the presence of that little particle on in the apodosis shows you that this is a so-called, this is great, it's an unreal condition. Or yeah, this is really unreal. It is a contrary to fact sentence, and so it has to be translated, if you had faith, hos kakon synapios, I'm going to come back to that, as a mustard seed, you would say, elegeta, to this sycamore, right? Ekrizotheta, be uprooted. This is the aorist imperative passive. It's got that funny theta ending on it. If you don't recognize a form, it's an aorist passive. That's my rule. Be rooted up and phuteutheta, be planted in the sea, and it would submit to you, obey you. Okay? Now, what is the sense here? I mean, I have a theory about this, and so I'll just tell you what this is, and you can ignore it if you want, but this doesn't make any sense if it's normally understood. If the comparison is, if you had faith like a mustard seed, what's the normal point of comparison as it's understood? If you had faith, what? As small as a mustard seed. In fact, the NIV, at least in Matthew, even translates that way. But Jesus doesn't say as small as a mustard seed. He says like a mustard seed. And by the way, that doesn't fit very well with the disciples' question either. They say, increase our faith. He says, no, you need less. See? You need only a little tiny, 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 tiny faith. Okay. I think the point of comparison is found in the parable of the mustard seed. That is, mustard seeds start small, but they don't what? They don't stay small. Okay? They grow and become huge trees and bushes in which the birds of the air can come and nest. See? And I think that's the point here. It's still, in a sense, pointing out the disciples' deficiency, but the point is that their faith is not acting like the kingdom of heaven, in fact, which is like a mustard seed. Because the kingdom of heaven starts very small, very unobtrusively, paradoxically in Jesus, in the death of a Jew on a cross, right? And yet it grows to be huge, see? And so, in a sense, here's hope here, because you don't have to start with big faith. Nobody starts with big faith, okay? But if your faith is like a mustard seed, and then it continues to grow and is nurtured by, obviously, by God, then you'll be able to do great things. And at the very least, I think that's some comfort for us, Joe and Josephine, ordinary Christian. You know, because otherwise this comparison is just endless guilt. Well, gads, I can't do that to trees. I must not have any faith at all. No. The problem is that your faith isn't acting like a mustard seed. Right? Bill, you had a comment. Little things. Good. Good. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good parallel. Right. Yeah. And your first parish has 75 people, right? Which is really the best parish you'll ever have, because you can't be pastor for more than 75 people anyway. Right? You can just pretend that you are. Okay, now, boy, that came out of nowhere. Where are we? Okay, now we've got this, our friend tis ex himon. We've had this a lot. It expects a negative answer. Can you imagine a person who? The answer is no. This construction occurs a number of times in Luke. Can you imagine a person who, if he has or who had a slave who was plowing or shepherding? We'll just go really fast here. Those participles modify doulon. They're masculine singular accusative participles, right? Who, now here's a tricky one, ace elthunti has to modify auto in five words. Who, when he comes in, who? The slave. When the slave comes in out of the field, he, the master, will say to him, the slave who just came out of the field, at once, well, can you imagine a master who would do this? At once, come near, par elthon, and lie down. You know, lie on the sofa here, and I'm going to let you have your supper. No, people don't do this. But will he not, a la uchi ere auto, will he not say to him, this is the master to the slave now, prepare what I will eat, that sense is clear enough, and gird your loins about, and serve me until I eat and drink, and after these things you will eat, and you will drink. Isn't that the way it works? And the answer is, yeah, that is the way it works. Okay. Let's see, verse 9. May eche charin, there is not grace to the slave because he did ta diatachthenta, the things which had been commanded. Is there, note may with a question indicating the expected negative answer. A slave doesn't, you don't get a raise for doing your job, do you? No. Hutos kai hime, so also you, hatan poiezita, whenever you do all the things having been commanded, pantata dia tachthenta, to you, say, legate, quote, hati is quotation marks, douloi akreoi esmen. We're not impressed with ourselves. We are useless servants. We are useless slaves. That which we ought to do, we have done. And I think often the English versions add, only. Okay? Don't be impressed with yourself. I mean, this is a axe grinding time. This is hardly ever the devotion read at ceremonies which honor people for long years of service in the church. But I wonder if it ought to be. It's a private peeve. I'm sorry, I won't grind that axe. And it's past time to stop. So, but I mean, you know, forgiveness in the church, not putting stumbling blocks, faith like, Lord, make my faith like a mustard seed. It's small now. By your mercy, enable it to grow. Right? Something like that.
With what?